I am extremely interested to see what the third hour brings. Last few days have been really good on the phones. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let's finish strongly. 1-800-636-8686. We just had Langston Galloway. We had Kyle Whittingham. We had Nick Nurse. So three really good interviews. And this last hour is open to you. Let's talk some more about The Last Dance. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm taking telephone calls. I want to reset, but I want to go to something different. I already recapped episode number 9. Then we get to episode 10. And if you thought that Jordan was done creating memes, then you were dead wrong. The meme machine was still cranking, like when he got his headphones out and he was rocking out.
What are you listening to? What are you listening to?
Huh?
What are you listening to?
Kenny Lattimore. Brand new. Not even out yet. He's a friend of mine, you know.
Pretty interesting, though, to see Jordan. He was loose, really loose at that point, having a lot of fun. Because most of that series has been about how intense he is and how everything is so personal to him. And if you want to talk about interesting, how about Dennis Rodman wrestling after Game 3 of the NBA Finals? It's a team making a run at a three-peat. And my man flat out left the team and went to hang out with Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
In the middle of the NBA Finals. Like, there's going to Vegas in the middle of the regular season. And then there's that. The Bulls beat the Jazz in Game 3. Rodman flies to Detroit to hit Diamond Dallas Page with a chair. And his explanation for doing so was perfect.
I wasn't trying to do anything. I was just trying to play basketball, party, da-da-da-da, girls. And so just be me, did it, you know.
Perfect, right? Wasn't trying to do anything. I was just trying to play basketball, party, get with girls, quote-unquote. I was just trying to be me. I was just trying to be Dennis. Like, I remember distinctly when that happened, and I couldn't believe it. More than 20 years later, I still can't believe it. Like, that's completely amazing. And I know it's been said so much, almost to the point of it being really tired. But can you imagine if it happened right now? He left the team during the finals. He missed a practice to be with the WCW and get paid. And not just paid, but paid. He reportedly received $250,000 for that. Hell yes, he left in the middle of the NBA Finals. Like, if somehow Tom Brady can pull his teammates to the Super Bowl this year, I don't think Gronk is going to leave at halftime to wrestle. But Dennis busted out in the middle of the finals during The Last Dance, no less. Like, they knew that was The Last Dance. They were looking to finish off a three-peat. And he still left right in the middle of the finals. It might be the best thing ever. As CJ McCollum tweeted, quote, Buddy got paid $250,000 to miss practice and media during the finals. Bruh, really lived a full life. Imagine him in an era like today. His Snapchat would have been fans only. Like, yeah, not just a full life. He's lived about 10 full lives. Tobias Harris tweeted, quote, Yo, let us get 10 more episodes dedicated to Dennis Rodman, end quote. I love the fact that when Phil Jackson was asked about Rodman causing a distraction, he put it on everybody else.
When he comes back after one of his episodes. Focus from the finals and everybody's
no, he's only taking your focus away from the finals, not ours.
Wow. Vintage Phil. And sure enough.
Philip.
Sure enough, Rodzilla comes back and has a monster game in Game 4. 14 rebounds and those clutch free throws. Like, Dennis could not be trusted at the free throw line. He stepped up when he had to have him and just knocked him down ice cold. And all energy, all heart. And the Bulls went to take a 3-1 series lead. So Utah wins Game 5, which set up that Game 6 in Salt Lake City, that game where Scottie Pippen's back locked up. And he was a decoy on offense for much of the game. Easy to forget just how jacked up his back was. Just like it was easy to call Scotty soft because of the migraine game. And because of his refusal to re-enter a playoff game. Yet the guy was out there playing in excruciating pain. And not only as a decoy, but he made some plays. He made some critical plays. And then you get that moment that the series has been building towards. Bulls down one. Utah with the ball. Roll it.
Malone is doubled. They swat at it and steal it. Here comes Chicago. 17 seconds from game seven or from championship number six. Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead. Michael Jordan running on fumes with 45 points.
At the end of the game, you got to get it out of his hands.
If that's the last image of Michael Jordan, how magnificent is it?
And that's it. The last shot of Michael Jordan's time with the Bulls. Because, of course, he came back with Washington, and he took a lot of shots and lost a lot of games. But this was not about that. One of my favorite parts of the doc was them getting the reaction from Scotty and Dennis, what they were thinking before that last shot, especially Dennis. Dennis was rich. Dennis was awesome on that. Scotty was good, but Dennis was amazing. It's also about Jordan getting the ultimate revenge on Brian Russell, the dude that he added to the list when he was playing baseball. And if you think Jordan pushed off on that shot, he's got a thought for you on that too.
Now everybody say I pushed off. The man was, his energy was going that way. I didn't have to push him that way.
He didn't push off. He didn't push off. And I'm not saying that as a Big West guy. Brian Russell was a Long Beach guy. I'm a Santa Barbara guy. It's not about that. My guy Seth Greenberg, coach Brian Russell, he didn't push off. Russell was already on skates as a result of the crossover. Like, for instance, that was nowhere near the shove that Reggie Miller executed on Jordan earlier. Miller treated Jordan like he was a blocking sled. Jordan treated Russell, as Bob Costas said, like a maitre d' showing you to your table.
That hand on his backside was the equivalent of a maitre d' showing someone to their table.
My man. What's up, Bob? But the series did not end there, and neither did the memes. Because if you want a meme, all you need to do is hand Michael Jordan an iPad with somebody talking about him, and he'll give you a reaction for the ages. Like when Jerry Reinsdorf talked about the possibility of bringing the team back for a seventh ring.
Let me play you. This is Jerry Reinsdorf saying why he had to break the team up.
Reinsdorf?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear this. I've never understood. We've never had any dialogue about why. I've made my own assumptions why.
Now, after the sixth championship, things are beyond our control.
Because it would have been suicidal at that point in their careers to bring back Pippen, Steve Kerr, Rodman, Ron Harper. Their market value individually was going to be too high. They weren't going to be worth the money they were going to get in the market.
So when we realized that we were going to have to go into a rebuild, I went to Phil and said, offered him the opportunity to come back the next year. But he said, I don't want to go through a rebuild. I don't want to coach a bad team. You know, that was the end. It just came to an end on its own. You know, had Michael been healthy and wanted to come back, I don't doubt that Krause could have rebuilt another championship team in a couple of years. But, you know, it wasn't going to happen instantly.
And then your meme. Because Michael reacted. And Michael didn't react so well to that. Mike insisted that we could have won a seventh. That you could have brought everybody back for 1 year.
We could have won seven. I really believe that. We may not have, but man, just not to be able to try, that's something that, you know, I just can't accept for whatever reason. I just can't accept it.
Yeah, I understand that, kind of. Like so many other champions, like his whole point was, how do we not even get the opportunity to try? How do we not try? We had six. We had a three-peat. So like so many other champions, Jordan's thinking about the one he didn't get instead of the six that he did. Because if six is great, seven is so much better. Not just bummed out that they didn't get that chance, but literally cannot accept it. You heard him. We may not have, but man, just to not be able to try, that's something I just can't accept for whatever reason. I can't accept it, end quote. You heard him say it. And I do see where he's coming from. Of course, he'd want the right to defend what he built. But the fact is, that was never going to happen. Are you telling me Scottie Pippen was going to turn down the $67 million he received in a sign-and-trade deal with Houston in order to sign a one-year deal in Chicago after the way the team had burned him on his contracts. That was his last chance to get a big deal. He was not staying. He was not coming back. For who? Mike? Scotty was going to come back because Mike told him to? For what? To get a seventh ring? You think he was going to trade the chance, not even a guarantee, but the chance of a seventh ring for $60 million? Hell no. He already had his six rings. And that was his last chance to get paid. Legacy be damned. Besides, the legacy was secure. He had six rings. That seventh ring was not guaranteed, but the next contract pretty much was. Yeah, and well, what? What if Phil stayed? What if Phil stayed? What if Dennis stayed? Even if they all did that, again, there's no guarantee they would have repeated. And sure, they would have benefited from the shortened season in 99. But remember, Jordan had mangled his finger in a cigar cutter incident and had to have surgery. As Ramona Shelburne writes, quote, Jordan contends that he wouldn't have been messing around with the cigar cutter at a golf tournament in January if Reinsdorf had already secured a commitment from Jackson to come back, end quote. Hey, listen, we can debate a lot of things that Mike has said in that doc, but that's some hell of a contention, isn't it? You're telling me that the guy who's been on our screens for the last 5 weeks, lighting one cigar off another, would not have been messing around with a cigar cutter if Phil Jackson was coming back. He really said that. Hey, yeah, but if you had gotten a guarantee from Phil that he was coming back, I wouldn't have been messing around with that cigar cutter. Hell no. He wasn't putting down the cigars for anything. And if he was only doing a stunt with a cigar cutter because he knew that he wasn't coming back, what kind of weird, bizarre world is that we're living in? Yeah, I'm not going to play basketball this year. May as well just hack up my finger with a cigar cutter. Hey, check this. I got a trick I want to show you with this cigar cutter. Mike really said that? Yeah, I wouldn't have been doing that. I wouldn't have been messing around with that cigar cutter if I knew Phil was coming back. Hey, listen, I respect the hustle and the effort and the will to believe that we might have been able to four-peat and that we should have been deserving or we should have been given the opportunity to four-peat. I get that. Like, I know the Knicks were the team that came out of the East that year, and they were the 8th seed, so anything was possible. But as the last dance showed, as great as that Bulls team was, they were running on fumes in the very end, and they were not going to run that thing back. That had already been decided, even if they did win their 6th. That's why that entire year was about the last dance. That's why those cameras followed them around for the entire year, because everybody knew that that was it. And as much as Jordan could will almost anything at all, that was bigger than him. Way too many moving parts, way too many factors, way too much infighting. And the tip of the digit that he thought was the end of his cigar. There was that. And even when Reinsdorf tried to make a last-ditch effort to save it, by then it was too little too late. And at that point, there was no way they were running it back, no matter what Jordan says in retrospect. Philip and Krause could not coexist, and Scotty was going to get his. And who can really blame him? Hey, Rome. 5 guys delivering a pizza is normal, right? Regards, Jenna Jameson. Steve and PHX. You're feeling pretty good about you, aren't you, Steve? Since your picture hit Twitter. And since, better yet, everybody else's picture hit Twitter. It's a catchy tune, though. That getting down tune. Hey, Rome. Notice how, of all the guys bobbing their head behind the glass, it's Alvy. Alvy's feeling that tune. Hey, Alvy, is that how you get down?
No.
Just kidding, dude. Damn, I'm blushing. Hey, Rome. Phil Jackson asked Michael Jordan to write a poem to burn in a coffee can. Was it? Roses are red. Violets are blue. Jim Rome will never be in Space Jam 2. Ron in Charlotte. No, that's LeBron's poem. What do I care? Do I look bitter? I'm still getting paid. All the time. Generally in 5-cent increments, but I'm still getting paid. And I will be until they put me in a coffee can. Those checks just keep coming, yo. Don't hate.
Yo.
Don't hate.
Baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
No. Oh. I was there in that famed bubble to shoot that scene. The Jordan bubble. I dropped that incredible smack back in the day, and I looked around for Mike, and I said, "Oh, No, dude, I definitely did not look around for Mike and drop my porno music. I didn't do that, Alvin. Oh. Break. Oh. Man, it's been a great run here in the jungle. I've had so much fun. Yeah, I've been tough on the XR4TI, but you have to know how badly I break. Yeah, I've taken a lot of runs at Adam Hawk, but it's just because I wanted it worse for Hawk than I did for myself. Yeah, I've been tough. Yeah, I pushed him. Never called him a hoe. Break.
Break.
When we come back. Oh. Oh. The player profile. Oh. Don't confuse. I like the doc. I've got final thoughts on the doc and what it says about Jordan, what it says about us, what it says about the era. I liked it. But I understand it. I know what it was. That was not a piece of journalism, and I'm fine with that. It was good. But what do you think it says about Mike? Like, something to think about. Does Mike seem content? Does Mike seem happy? Does Mike, like, and compare it to, like, Kobe in retirement. Compare it to what you think LeBron might look like in retirement. Just food for thought before I lay the whole thing out. And I do have a player profile coming up. Mark in Hollywood. In fact, that's coming up next. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We are close, we're convenient, we're known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people that you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Normally coming off the weekend, I have no reason to go back to say something that happened last week, not even during this time. I think I've proven already that I can handle a talk show during the pandemic. I don't need to reset a bunch of old things. I don't need to hammer the same things. I can give you a fresh show every single day, with or without sports. However, I did say Friday, and I have said today, and I'll say it again right now. You've all done a pretty good job, and I mean that. Thursday and Friday were some of the better call days that we've had, and today we picked up right where we left off, almost. My concern, however, is that you do not gas out. Because right now, we are still 32 days out from SmackOff 26. I don't want to get greedy, but I'm still hoping for more of the same. And today's been a pretty good day. The question now is, can you keep it up? Can you do it again tomorrow? Can you do it the day after that? Can you keep the momentum going for another month plus? Once again, and I've made this clear, if you're holding on to a golden ticket, you really have no choice. You got to call. There's not a single ticket holder who has done anything to guarantee a spot on June 19th. I say that to every one of you holding onto a golden ticket right now. You have not done enough. Like, if you were to shut it down right now and do nothing between now and then, you have not done enough. I guarantee you will not get on the air that day. I can already say that without even knowing what's going to happen on that day. If you do nothing between now and that day, you will not get on the air. Yes, you're invited, but that's it. That's all you're guaranteed, an invite. All that does is put you in line. It does not get you in the door necessarily. I'm talking to you, Sarah T. Chris in Toronto gets that. He called up today. He got sharked, but he did call. Matt in L.A. I don't think I need to worry about him calling again. In fact, I'm shocked I haven't heard from him today. No, Matt. Matt, put the phone down. I know you're going to call. Danica You're not guaranteed anything. Drizzle. Do you really have a ticket, Drizzle? Whoever you are. You're guaranteed nothing, brah. So these next 5 weeks are more important to you than anybody else in the field. So get up in here and do something that makes me take your call in the main event. Or as Bob Baffert used to say to me, hey, Jim, you want to be in the big arena? You know where to find me. Baffert used to say that to me. You want to be in the big arena, don't you? You know where to find me. So you golden ticket recipients, you want to be in the big arena? You know where to find me. And the clock is ticking. And it's not slowing down for anybody. So while I wait on you, I'm not going to wait on continuing to profile the field. Those who are in, those who will get on the air that day for the most part. I've already given the treatment to Leff in Laguna, Caleb in Green Bay, Rick in Buffalo. Today I stay in my own backyard. I focus on the 2013 champ, Mark in Hollywood. Mark in Hollywood is a seasoned vet. He ripped a golden ticket back in 2012. He has not looked back since. 1 year after earning that invite, he took the whole thing down in a phone call that featured a conversation with Siri recapping her date with Mike and Indy. That was 7 years ago. 7 years ago, using Siri was like brilliant. The pinnacle of creativity. I mean, literally, it put Mark in the Champions Club. 1 year later, he almost went back to back and settled for silver in 14. Since then, he's been a force. He's logged three consecutive top fives before ultimately getting hammered and run off the show last year in one of the raunchiest phone calls in Smack Off history. You might think that the modern field lacks sports takes. Not from this guy. He's repped his hometown of Philly for nearly a decade around here. And the only thing he loves more than his alma mater, a Penn State, is trolling Ohio State fans. Which he did last year when Urban Meyer left his second head coaching gig for health reasons that were emerging again after another scandal.
Yo, I am vexed how everyone has been suckered by this car salesman timeshare huckster Herb. You know, all morning, quality journals, all they've been saying was, well, we saw this coming because of his health. He clearly had to take a knee, and he had to take Midol, and he had cramps. Hello? This is what you do when you don't want to be at your job. That's basically what this rat-faced con man has been doing all season, idiots. How is it, will he coach again, even a serious question for these journos? It's like people forget that he coached a successful college team in the South where he overlooked players' crimes. Things got hot and the sanctions came. Herb faked the coronary harder than Rick in Buffalo fakes his radio voice, bounced for a year, and then, shocker, he's the head coach of the Buckeyes. Herb, if you're really feeling that crappy all the time to the point where you have to fake a brain cyst, retire to evaluate your medical status, you did it to yourself, didn't you? Stop the sympathy, the retrospectives, the gas bags pontificating on his amazing legacy. Sometimes you get exactly what you deserve. Except for Urban Meyer, coach of the 2021 Super Bowl winning New England Patriots.
To be fair, I don't think it's accurate to say that he faked the brain cyst. The rest of it, though, maybe so. Anyway, so Mark's got that going for him, and we know that he's capable of going after other callers, clearly capable of going after sports figures, and capable of nearly burning down my entire program with calls like this, which he made during the personal appearance segment of Romageddon, the one-off, back in 2017.
I'm going to say to you what EJ Ho says to a barbed wire fence. Hello, friend. But Lev, my man, you didn't even talk about Rick Pitino's hair. I mean, that guy looks like he ripped one of Kellen Winslow's Vaseline tubs and dumped it into that slick. Well, Rick, you don't want to do that because you'll end up like Cameron Diaz in Something About Mary. You know, Jim, as a sidebar, back in Philly when we did that to our girls, we call that a But, you know, I'm just wondering if this translucent slime bag decided to play it safe or if he rolled up on that diner counter bareback. Wore Pitino using angel hair pasta as a contrast.
No. You don't like that color.
I don't like that color. Not a very good color.
Yeah. I said it then, I'll say it again right now. Angel hair pasta is pasta. It is not a form of contraceptive. It won't work. Put simply, Mark's got some range. Mark's got some flow. Mark has used both of those to compile dozens and dozens of memorable phone calls, one of which resulted in a Smack-Off title back in 2013. He is without a doubt one of the best to ever come up in here and do it.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised, but you'll never catch me wearing blue and maize. It's 9:52, and Michigan still sucks.
So later on tonight, I'm going to give my girl my Philly special if you see me working.
Rick, I know you've done so much toot that your eyes look like Edwin Moses, and your beak looks like Artie Lang's. You faux-ass bitch.
Mike is the guy that calls the cops when someone commits a hard foul on him during a pickup game. My suggestion to you, Mike, is that you do go away, because you are the spitting image of Papa John, and frankly, at this point, you're bad for the Jungle brand. I have to congratulate Les in Lasagna. Every year, his calls feature less and less left, which is a win for all of us.
Yo, Portland woman. What up, Wookiees?
Caleb, the only haters you have is called physical fitness and mental toughness. Get back into the carpool lane, less successful Jay Stu.
Tyler, Matt, what up, sluts?
Tough smack-talking Canadians, really?
Oh, and by the way, James Kelly, as a fellow member of Big Dome Nation, I got your back, homie. Ain't nothing wrong with you. I'd rather have a big dome than look like a bald, wrinkly, newly born Benjamin Button or a dead-eyed, air-headed, tatted-up millennial hipster Mimbo.
And wore Rick's wife having a fetish for black midget actors from Hollywood.
I don't care if you're the B-I-C, the B-I-C, if you're a D-I-C, like M-I-K-E. I got a Ph.D. in snackology. The title is coming back. Back by way of Philly, so forget the 5G's, Rome. I did this for free, and there's only one thing left to say. Crony!
That's a taste of Mark in Hollywood. 32 more days, and you'll hear what he's got on the biggest stage. I mean, that's what he brings on most days. And he understands, like the greats, he understands the bright lights. He understands the, quote, big arena, the big stage. He likes it. The bigger, the better. The more listeners, the better. And with a win, Mark will become just the sixth ever to have multiple chips, multiple smack-offs. Can he do it? Absolutely. Will he do it? We will find out on June 19th. I'm curious to see what he's got this time. I'm eager to see what he's got this time. You know he's going to be a factor. Always in the top five, and he's already got a strap. Mark in Hollywood. What do you think? Hey, check it for me really quickly. Where does Stucknut have him again? Stucknut's got the odds up. And again, I'm not sure whether or not any of the betting sites will. Hey, listen, with nothing to get down on, those betting sites should have us up right now. People are betting anything, including the weather. Nut's got him at 7-1. Some pretty good value there, 7-1. Benny and Wisco has got some pretty good value at 10-1. About an exacta box with those two. What does that pay? All right, so when we come back, one last segment. Another good show. Another good day.
Good show, dude.
You can't tell me otherwise. Good show, dude. Good show. I know a good show when I hear one or when I host one. This has been a good show. Let's finish it the right way. Phone lines are open. Adam, you should be working that ATP. Huge call still coming up. Here is your sports update. Welcome back. Time now to Ask the Pros. Well, answer the Ask the Pros. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jimmy Jim is Logan Rome. Better at video games than Alvy is at the soundboard.
Logan Lowe.
Signed Brent in PC. Interesting question. Not yet. But if he continues his regimen of 10 hours a day on video games, he's going to run Alvy down. Not yet. Alvy's been at it longer. Alvy has more experience. Alvy's got the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hour expertise. He's an expert. Alvy's done this for a long time. He's been paid to do it for a long time. Logan's getting paid now. As I mentioned, Logan, I think, won $5 in some national contest. Some $5. Well, it wasn't a $5 contest. I'm sure the winner made real money. Logan, I think, got $5 for his effort in this one national Fortnite tourney where he placed in the top million nationwide or something. I'm like, that's great. It's a good return on his investment. That's time well spent. He's probably played 5,000 hours to make that $5. Right now, Alvin's better. Logan's coming hard, though. Logan on Sunday trying to get through all his classwork yesterday was something else. The Rome Homeschooling University was also something else yesterday. All right, in the meantime, it's not too late to get through. Let's see, is there anything here? The phone lines are jammed. I'm just trying to see if there's anything worth taking. If you're on hold, do not take offense to this, not really. So after 2 months on the shelf, live professional golf was back yesterday. Now, it might not have been the PGA Tour, but it didn't need to be. And this was not a case of something is better than nothing, like the NBA 2K video game tourney. It sure as hell was not a case of nothing is better than something, like that glitchy horse debacle from 6 weeks back. Remember that? That feels like 6 months ago. I'm working hard to forget that that even happened, especially since it dragged Ritt out of the woodwork. Remember that? Nope. This two-on-two team skins event was actually pretty damn good and pretty entertaining. I previewed the event on Friday with Paul Azinger, who was on the call for NBC yesterday. And it pretty much lived up to everything that Zinger said it would. Namely, a fun way to spend 4 hours on a Sunday watching live sports after we had gone so long without much of anything at all. From the jump, you knew this thing was going to be a little bit different. Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Matthew Wolff, all showed up to an empty Seminole golf club, but in shorts and carrying their own bags and wearing microphones. And it was worth the time spent on the couch just to see these dudes loop for themselves and get their own yardage with range finders. These guys have not thrown a bag of bats over their shoulders probably since college. And here they were walking around the track like a bunch of weekend warriors in shorts. And Matt Wolff showed up looking exactly like a guy worthy of that last name. Tie-dye kicks, chest hair exploding from an unbuttoned polo shirt, a Fu Manchu that would make Baker Mayfield proud. And the relatively unknown 21-year-old held his own, as I said he would on Friday, with three household names, including a couple of guys in the top five in Rory and DJ. Now, not the best golf you're going to see, not even close. But it really doesn't matter. Not right now. Not when it's been 60 days since we've seen any golf at all. And not when they were doing it for charity. And TaylorMade did a really nice job of coming up with the perfect four guys for an event like that. Nobody on tour can bomb it like Rory and DJ. So that was kind of a feast for starving eyes to see these dudes tee it up back-to-back for 18. Then you've got Rick, who owns the smoothest putting stroke on the planet. He poured in a flurry of birds on the back nine and kept that match closed for a couple hours. And then there was the aforementioned Matthew Wolff, who got an entire afternoon of camera time to showcase that big personality and an extremely unique golf swing. If you've not seen this guy hit it, then go to YouTube as quickly as you can. Dude makes Jim Furyk's cut look normal and boring and not unique. This match came down to the final hole with a half a dozen skins and 1.1 mil on the line. And there were a lot of memorable moments yesterday, but none more so than DJ lining up a six-footer for the win and saying out loud, quote, "I'm going to pour this in," end quote. Only to miss the cup entirely from just outside gimme range. Aww. That forced a closest to the pin playoff. A 120-yard knockdown wedge shot where each guy got to fire a rock into the howling wind, and the closest ball would take the cheese. Wolf hits the dance floor first. Ricky pushes one wide right. Then fresh off his very own Nick Young moment on the 18th green, DJ shanked a hosel rocket to Georgia, capping off two of the worst back-to-back potential match-winning shots you're ever going to see. And then Roars stepped up and did this.
Come on, partner. Do it. Do it. Just get on the green.
What's up, partner?
Stay on the green.
Stay.
You got it. Hey, you go see
you think?
Sit.
It. Who got it, Jim?
It was him.
Woo! There we go. Air five.
I'm not touching.
Yeah.
What's up, partner?
What's happening, partner?
Air five. Not exactly Sunday at the Players, but you get the point. Rory dots the green pin high. Had to wait for confirmation that he was closer than Matt Wolf. Celebrated to a non-existent crowd with that air high five, to Dustin Johnson in order to comply with social distancing guidelines. It was as weird as it was endearing, because that is the world's number one golfer taking part in an exhibition match in which he helped raise $5.5 million for COVID-19 relief. Jungle friend Alan Shipnook of Golf Magazine said it best, quote, "The real winners at Seminole yesterday never even hit a shot," end quote. He's right about that. A lot of money was raised. A lot of people at home got to watch four of the best slap it around. Slap it around a beautiful track that's never been seen on TV. And the track was beautiful. Like a tropical links course. No trees. Flat. Fast. Mind-boggling greens. Water everywhere. Just ask DJ, who rinsed an entire sleeve throughout the day. All in all, yesterday was very successful, given the circumstances. Everybody involved did a lot, but not so much. And there was an important lesson in Sunday's exhibition golf match that everybody should have picked up on. As fun as it was, as great as it was, as good as it was to have some golf, these guys were rusty. But that's to be expected. If these guys looked that obviously off playing golf, can you imagine what the NBA might look like, for instance, when they get back to playing full speed later on this year, if they do? I mean, one thing to pick up the bats after a two-month layoff, entirely another to run the floor with nine other of the world's best athletes. Just think, or something to think about, as the NBA continues to try to get back any way it can. As for the Skins game, definitely worth a golf clap, even if these guys did not hear any yesterday. Also, time well spent. I liked it. Well done. All right, then. This guy's name has come up on the show a couple of times. So why don't we go to the D? Johnny Scabs in Detroit. Hey, Johnny, what's cracking?
Hey, Jim, what an epic day for Canadian callers in the jungle. We got a chance to hear from both sides of Brad Speedo today. Now Brad finally has a face to put on his undercarriage. Speaking of Chris in Toronto, you know, I told everyone at Stuxnet he had a great delivery. I just liked it better when Mark in Hollywood started doing it 10 years ago. You know, this guy fakes it more than his wife once every 3 months. He's such a rip-off rental car insurance feels dirty. Rome, Chris is such a fake, the Lifts and Cal Skechers are embarrassed. Chris's smack is so weak, Magic Johnson's medicine couldn't fix it. Late?
Probably should have run him, Alvin. Magic Johnson's medicine couldn't fix it. HIV smack, that's great, Scabs. Is that the type of thing you think is going to get you into the smack off? Because it won't. I really don't want to end on that call. I really would not like to end on that call. All right, remember last week's controversy? Allen in Virginia. Whether or not he said, Allen! Or, hey, Alvin, do you have that still? Allen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Allen.
No, you're Allen. I'm Jim. For some reason, that was a thing. Like, we couldn't decide. We slowed it down. I insist that it was, hey. He's calling back to let us know what it was.
Allen.
We go to Virginia. Allen. So, Allen, set the record straight. What was it?
In defense of Adam Hawk, after the verbal abuse he's taken all afternoon, I called in and talked to him a while. And thank you for having me on. Yes, I actually said Allen because I was introduced as Allen in West Virginia. And after that debacle of a call, I was relieved. I was attributed to West Virginia because of I only live in Virginia. I'm from Steeler country. And Alvin described the thing.
Brother, let me jump in. I wish I had ended on Johnny's call. Okay. Well, I guess we've set the record straight on that.
No, I'm done.
Alan. That's lucid compared to that. Anyway, what's poppin', Twitter? Hey, I'm not gonna thank anybody. I'm just done. All right, see you tomorrow. Out.
Break.